Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. As I mentioned before our service began this morning, today's gospel lesson probably sounds familiar to most of you, and for good reason. We just heard the account of a miraculous feeding of a large crowd less than a few months ago, during the season of Lent. And again, we hear of the account of a miraculous feeding of a large crowd today. Why do these feeding miracles come up twice in our one-year lectionary? Well, the simplest answer is it happened twice. First, our Lord Jesus fed 5,000 with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And then, as we heard this morning, our Lord fed 4,000 with just 7 loaves of bread and a few small fish. Furthermore, the Holy Spirit willed that the account of these miraculous feedings be recorded multiple times. In all 4 Gospels, in the case of the feeding of the 5,000, and that's one of those few events in the life of Jesus that is found in all 4 Gospels, and then twice in the case of the feeding of the 4,000. We heard it today from Mark, and it's also found in Matthew. Twice Jesus feeds a large number of people in a desolate place miraculously. Twice he does so with just a few loaves of bread and fish. Twice he provides so much food that all eat and are satisfied, and there are twice many baskets filled with the leftover. And twice we hear about it in the church year. And 6 times we read about it in the New Testament. Does that seem a little excessive? Is it a bit much? Are you growing tired of hearing this story again and again? Are you so familiar with this miracle that maybe you think it's time to hear something else? Does it seem unnecessary? Especially when it seems like we should be hearing something a little bit more relevant to the immediate issues of the day. If so, why do you feel that way? Consider, do these kind of thoughts come from the new man within you, created through water and the Word by the Holy Spirit, the new man who has been given the mind of Christ? No, for the new nature created in Christ Jesus loves his words and his works, no matter how many times they are read and preached to him. The new man delights in hearing those familiar Bible lessons again and again and again, and never grows weary of hearing what God has done. Just like a child loves to hear the same bedtime story read night after night. No, the one that grows tired of hearing God's word, the one that grows bored of hearing the same account again and again, is the old Adam, the sinful nature, the flesh. He is desiring something newer and supposedly better. And so consider, if you've heard this gospel lesson, or any other scripture reading for that matter, with apathy or indifference, boredom, because it just seems so familiar, so irrelevant, then repent. Thanks be to God, he has no feelings of apathy or indifference or boredom. From the very beginning of creation, he has given body and soul to all people. And daily bread to everyone, even to all evil people. Day after day, year after year, God makes his sun to rise both on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain both on the just and on the unjust. Does the Lord God grow tired of doing this every single day? Does he grow bored doing this for everyone? Certainly not. He, the Lord, does not change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. If God were to withdraw his hand of provision even for a moment, creation would completely fall apart. But praise his holy name, our Lord never grows tired, never grows bored of loving us, of providing for us, of caring for us. And that's a very good thing, because we always need God's love, God's provision, God's care. Again, the feeding of the 4,000 begins much the same way that the feeding of the 5,000 begins. A large crowd gathered around Jesus in a desolate place. And after a while, it became clear that everyone needed something to eat. There were too many people in a place that was too far away from resources. There was too little food on hand to go around. Many of the people had come from far away to hear and see Jesus. And it seems as though they did not plan ahead. They didn't bring enough food for the journey. There was a lot. They were there a lot longer than they had initially expected. And even if there was a village nearby with a market that had enough food to feed a crowd of 4,000 people, it was too far for most of the people to walk. Again, not enough food, not enough money, not enough time. Again, life can often feel this way for us too. Again, same problems as yesterday. Again, the same issues as last week. Again, the same needs as last year. Again and again and again. How often it seems that the demands are too great, the resources are too little. Not enough income to cover all our expenses. Not enough time to finish all our tasks. Not enough energy to meet all our goals. Not enough strength to carry out all our responsibilities. What do you do when the demands of the day come up again and again? How do you respond? Where do you turn? What did the disciples do on that day long ago? How did they respond to the demands of yet another hungry crowd? Not as they should have. They should have remembered what Jesus did the last time this happened. They should have remembered that Jesus had compassion on the crowd and that he multiplied the loaves and the fish. That he fed all the people gathered together, and he fed them so abundantly that there were 12 baskets filled with the leftovers. And having remembered that, the disciples then should have come to Jesus and asked him, "Lord, please give us this day our daily bread. Provide once more, dear God." They should have trusted Jesus. They should have expected him to have compassion. They should have known that none of those people gathered around him would grow weary or faint. They should have expected that Jesus would feed them and nourish them and strengthen them in the way he knew to be best. In short, they should have believed. But they didn't. Maybe it's because the disciples thought it would be rude to ask Jesus for a miracle again. Maybe it's because they doubted that Jesus would want to do this again or even be able to. Maybe they thought they weren't worthy of asking for a miracle, or the crowds weren't worthy of receiving one. Or maybe their hearts were just hardened. Whatever the case was, the disciples didn't ask. They worried. "How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place?" they asked. How indeed? How about you? Yes, you face the same problems, the same issues, the same needs, day after day, year after year. How often are those issues faced with sinful doubt? How often have you forgotten what God has done for you yesterday and the day before that and all your days? Remember how many times God has provided those funds you needed to pay your bills. And how often he has granted even more abundantly than that. Remember how many times God has arranged all things so that your tasks would be accomplished. And how many times has he granted you extra time for leisure and rest on top of that. Remember how many times God has strengthened you and given you help at just the right time so that all your responsibilities and obligations would be met. And again, how often has God done more than that, blessed you with good friends and family, so that your days would be filled with joy and gladness also? But like the disciples, the remembrance of God's love and provision and care and in abundance all too quickly disappears, especially when it seems like there's something new and unprecedented we face. And so then we are sinfully led to try to solve our own problems frantically by our own reason or strength. And so we sit down quickly to figure out how we can earn some more money or cut expenses from our budget or carve out more time in our schedule or figure out more ways to be energized. And none of those things are bad in and of themselves, of course. But how slow we are to pray as though we are to ask God for that daily bread, for strength to meet the days ahead, to give us friends and family and workers and others, neighbors, to help us in our daily responsibilities. How quickly we run to the table to figure out what we can do. How slow we are to fall to our knees and seek God's assistance. How often we, like those disciples, neglect or worse yet, refuse to seek God's help. And so not only do we face the same troubles day in and day out, we do so with the same sinful nature day in and day out. That same old Adam that fails to call upon God in every trouble, which denies God his rightful authority as not only our creator and preserver, which not only doubts his ability, but also his willingness to provide for our every need day after day. As the Catechism says, we truly daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment. But to state this is not to be fatalistic. This is not to be the equivalent of shrugging our shoulders and acting like nothing will ever change. We're sinners every day, so we might as well just accept it. No. For something has changed for you who are Christians. Something has changed for you who have been baptized and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that something is described in our epistle lesson this morning from Romans chapter 6, wherein the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, writes that you, that is you who have been baptized and believe, you have been set free from sin. There is a former life, and there is a life now for Christians. In your former life, prior to your baptism, you were slaves of sin, slaves to impurity and lawlessness. But now, you have become slaves of God. The Holy Spirit has been given to you. He dwells in you. The new man has been created in you in Christ Jesus, and he produces that fruit that leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. And that's why we Christians not only daily sin much, for we are still sinners, yes, but then we also daily drown the old Adam. We do so with contrition and repentance. Daily we confess our sins, particularly today those times where we have neglected our prayers, where we have doubted God's compassion, where we have forgotten his provision, where we have trusted in ourselves and our strength. And then daily the new man emerges and arises to live before God in righteousness and purity forever, again particularly by turning to the Lord God in faith, by calling upon his name in every trouble, by seeking from him every good and profitable thing, by expecting him to give us all that we need, what he knows best, and trusting that as he has every day, so far so will he always help us in our needs. For the Lord truly never grows tired of helping us in every way. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their host. As we heard this morning, in the beginning he gave Adam and his wife Eve every tree of the garden to eat but the one. And then in time, the Lord God who had done these things became man for us men and for our salvation. He, the Creator, took on a created human body, like us in every single way, yet without sin. And therefore, as true man in the flesh, he knows our weakness, he knows our need. And that leads him to have compassion, to feel our sufferings in himself. The compassion that he felt for that crowd of 4,000 on that day long ago. That compassion that moved him to take 7 loaves and give thanks and break them and then give them to the disciples to set before the crowd. The same compassion that moved him to help the crowd of 5,000 before that, feeding them also in abundance. The same compassion that led him to provide for people throughout the generations before and since. Again, God does not change. Jesus is and always will be the same, yesterday, today, and forever, with the same heart and thoughts of love toward you. The compassion he had for those crowds on that day is the same compassion he has for you. The love is the love he has for you. And that's why we confess, we believe, we trust that he richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. All he provides, richly and daily, whatever those needs are, ordinary, extraordinary, common, unique, day by day, your Lord cares about them. He cares about you without fail. And of course, Christ's compassion, his love for you, has moved him to do even greater things than provide for your daily bread, your body and life. For of his boundless compassion, he gave his very flesh and blood for you to set you free from sin. And this he did once for all. By his death, you were delivered from slavery to sin and made slaves to God. By his crucifixion, Christ paid the wages of sin for you, which is death, that you might receive the free gift of God, that is eternal life in him. And this free gift of forgiveness, life, and salvation is given to you daily and richly in the Christian church, daily, through the means of grace, the word and sacrament. And so again, as we think about these things that reoccur, we daily sin much, we surely deserve nothing but punishment, and yet God daily and richly forgives all our sins. If we trust that he has done this, and by the Holy Spirit we do, then we must trust that he will also give us all that we need, day after day, to support us in this life until the very end. He most certainly will, because his compassion is unceasing for you. Earlier in today's service, we prayed this collect of the day. O God, whose never-failing providence orders all things both in heaven and on earth, we humbly implore you to put away from us all hurtful things and to give us those things that are profitable for us. Collect of the day is just that, of the day, and so we won't pray it again, at least formally, until next year around this time. But this is a good prayer. And it's one that's worth offering to God, not just on this seventh Sunday after Trinity, but often. For we have the same needs and same sins day by day. Always in this fallen world, we are surrounded and threatened by hurtful things. And so we must always, day after day, look to our God to help us, to give us those things that are profitable for us, day upon day. And he answers this prayer. Day after day, without ceasing, without tiring, without boredom. He keeps us from all hurtful things. He gives us all profitable things. Not necessarily those things that are comfortable or easy, but indeed those things that will strengthen and preserve us in body and soul into life everlasting. He does so. He has, he will. Do not doubt. Trust in him. He will finally receive you to your eternal rest, and there you will hunger and thirst no more. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.